Hello. Hello, everyone. My name is Maryam Safi. I'm a huge fan of this weekend testing and the Motaverse community. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here co-hosting this weekend testing for the first time. So welcome to the episode 86 of this weekend testing. Thanks to those who keep coming back and to our new listeners. And for those who that are listening to the podcast, thank you for joining us. So this is an official Ministry of Testing event. So please be mindful of the code of conduct. You can find that on the Ministry of Testing website, ministryoftesting.com. Scroll down to the footer and there you'll find it. So, if you are joining us in the chat, please be mindful of that. Also, if you do come up on stage a little bit later, be aware of the code of conduct. One last thing, this event is recorded, so you can find it later today on MOT podcast, thanks to the amazing Alexandra.
Well, Mariam, this is very cool that we get to co-host our first episode together. Yes. And we were chatting backstage just before we started, and we both noted that it happens to be our birthdays today. So happy birthday, Mariam.
Yes, happy birthday to you too, Simon.
Brilliant. It's this week in birthdays. So if anyone else who's listening today is celebrating, then feel free to join the stage in a little bit and we can have a group birthday celebration. So yeah, it's just brilliant timing. Very, 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 very lovely that that happened today. So yes, so folks, thank you for joining us. And well, we've got a lot to get through this week. So we're going to hang out for about an hour. Take us up to the hour. For those who are new to This Week in Testing, this is a voice-only event. So myself and Mariam, we're just going to have a little chit-chat about the week in testing, share what we've observed this week, look at some of the news and see what's been happening. And after that, we will invite folks to join the stage. So you can join the stage. There's a little hand icon that you can press a little bit later for those who are on a desktop browser. And then, yeah, just keep your video off and join voice only. I know for those folks who joined last week, it was very rock and roll. We had a lot of people keeping their video cameras on, and it was like, wow, this is breaking all the rules, but hey, why not? But yeah, it's just a nice way for us to gather and hang out at the end of the week for most people. So, Mariem, how has your week in testing been?
Yeah, it's been busy. First of all, it's not, I don't know. We're talking about MOTU news. I noticed. I don't know if it's me, but I noticed that the MOT meetup scene has been seriously buzzing lately. All the details are available on Alexandra's recent post, the MOT meetups, April and May 2025. So there is a Ghana meetup on the April the 12th, Munich and Berlin meetups on the 15th of April, and the Tunis meetup on the 17th of April. I noticed also, not noticed, and there is, of course, the third episode of Software Testing Live on the 23rd of April with Ben Doan and Brittany Stewart. So I think this is awesome because many are online, which is a great opportunity for people who aren't on site. So it's good to have online meetups like that. And I got a notification of for professional members They can now add external links in the MOT in the Metaverse to showcase their helpful blog posts, podcasts, video, and more. They can even show up on profile pages, which I think it's a great update because I think it's a great way to show the full scope of what you do, not just within the Metaverse, but across your whole professional journey. So do check out the events page on ministryoftesting.com. There is always something happening.
Yes, indeed. There's so much going on. I mean, yeah, the London meetup recently, Gloucestershire, and yourself, I hear you got involved in a meetup this week, right? There was a introduction to reading code. Is that correct? And, and it sounds like, Mariam, that you got up on and joined the stage with Samuel Nitsch, I think, was running it. Is that right?
Yes, it's right. I participated in a code reading club session for beginners organized by MOT Munich by Samuel Nitsch, I think. Yes. So it's it was a code. He gave us a code on PDF and showed us how to annotate the different components of the code, variables, static values. It helped me see the code differently. It was like a book with chapters and subtitles and sub-subtitles. And it was my first time enjoying reading a code. So yes, it was a really amazing experience. And there will be a second reading club session next week, but this time it will be for advanced testers.
Got it. That's very cool. There's something about looking at code outside of the IDE and sort of viewing it with a slightly different lens and annotating that is really powerful. So, yeah, a nice one for going for it and getting up on stage. That's very cool. It's a great week for you, Mariam, and also with co-organizing Tunis as well. It's like a triple whammy or a quadruple whammy. So
yes, yeah. It has been a very busy week, 2 weeks. I like that. I like this. What's going on? So yes, talking of MOT Tunis meetup. So we've been preparing for the comeback of the MOT Tunis meetup. It will be on April the 17th at 8 p.m. Tunisia time. So it's like UTC plus one. So I'm really excited about this and hope it reaches a lot of people and that they love the content. We're covering test career paths and how AI can augment testers. Most of it will be in Tunisian Arabic, but Alexander will join to share insights on testing careers in his part in English, of course. So, can't wait.
It's going to be brilliant. And I'm so glad that Alexander can join you virtually to share his knowledge and experience. Alexander, of course, a co-host of This Week in Testing, who always has lots of good things to share. So yes, congratulations. Very, yes, very cool.
Thank you, Alexander.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, there's a lot of people in the community who are being audacious right now, you know, including yourself, Mariam, and others in the community who are just going for it, who are putting themselves out there, putting themselves forward for doing things, writing articles for Ministry of Testing, co-organizing meetups, even to the point where people are like uploading photo memories to the website. So for those unfamiliar we have a photo memories feature. So if you go to ministryoftesting.com/memories, and loads more people are sharing photos now. It's brilliant. It really captures history. I'm a big believer in photography and the power of capturing a moment. You know, it's stuff that we can come back to in many years' time and go, oh yeah, do you remember when that happened? Or this was going on, and, you know, laugh or smile or kind of just reflect on the good things that were happening at that point in time. So yes, all up for folks being audacious. And in fact, Rosie Sherry, founder and CEO at Ministry of Testing, she has written a post that you can find on the homepage called On Being Audacious Together. It's well worth a read. Brilliant. Okay, Mariam, I'm just going to check my notes and see if there was anything else that we were going to mention. Oh, yes. Thank you for your notes on this one, Mariam. There will be no This Week in Testing on Friday, the 18th of April, as it's Good Friday. So we will be returning a week after on Friday, the 25th. So yes, we can all take a little week off from This Week in Testing. And it would be this 2 weeks in testing. Maybe we do a rebrand for the 1 week. Excellent. So, Mariam, do you think it's time? Should we get some folks up on stage and find out what people have been up to? What do you reckon?
Yes, of course. Let's get them on stage. Yes.
Cool. So, folks, if you are on the desktop app, you can look for, and I'm just going to move forward the slides for those who are watching today on Crowdcast Live. You can see a little bit of an instruction about how you can raise your hand. So there should be a hand icon next to the chat box. If you tap that, we will receive a little notification on our side where the people icon is, and it will say this person wants to come up on stage. So yeah, you're more than welcome to join us. What have you been up to? Maybe you want to share a win, you know, go for it, brag as much as you want to brag. Maybe you want to celebrate yourself, or you want to celebrate someone else in the community. Mariam and me are well up for hearing about it. And yeah, we want to find out about your week in testing. And also, just before we invite that first person up on stage, I can see someone waiting nicely. Yeah, thanks to everyone who is commenting in the chat. Lots of lovely chat coming through. Thank you for the kind birthday wishes, everyone. That's very cool. And thank you to Alexandra, as always, for sharing all the links. So do go check out those links as things progress. But yes, I can see Jane. Ah, Jane DeCruz would like to join us. So Jane, I'm going to press the little button that should bring you up on stage, and then feel free to jump on in. Here we go. So Jane, to the main stage.
Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Happy birthday to you both. What a strange coincidence it is.
I love it.
The same day.
I love it. It's like that. It's like they say, bugs gather. Well, you know, maybe birthdays for testing professionals gather at the same time.
Absolutely. So I wanted to come and say hello. I haven't been here. I attended briefly last week, but I was in the middle of my first Friday at my new role. But I have put you in the calendar now so I can come along every week. And I'm going to encourage my new colleagues in the test team, both in Vietnam, if they're able to. It's evening now in Vietnam, so my offshore team are all the way around the other side of the world. And also Sharon, who is the only other onshore member of the team at the minute. But I want to come and say hello and wish you happy birthday. And yes, celebrate my first week in my new role.
That's amazing, Jane. If you're okay to share, how's the week been?
Really good.
Full-on, intense, good, that kind of thing.
Quite intense. To summarise Trinity College London's challenges, they've got four major work streams, three of which are running sprints, two-week sprints. And then the third one is a big Oracle system at the back end that is released every 6 weeks or so. But all of those releases only land into the final sort of pre-production test environment, and they then release everything quarterly. So the challenge with that is they're ruining the agile sprint teams, because they're basically capturing what six sprints worth of information to deliver in one go every quarter, which pretty much negates the use of accessibility. Paul Coles has just shuddered. I'm working on Oracle. Yeah, it's been a while for me too, Paul. And I've been in the back end and it is a beast. So my challenge is how we speed up testing, how we ensure that the agile sprint benefits are actually felt by the front end portals. So the customer portals that are used by Trinity for candidates and teachers and examiners and all those good people. Without destroying the back end functions. So it's a massive puzzle, which I absolutely love, Simon. I enjoy testing puzzles more than anything else I do. I love working out how to get it to work well. So my first week, I've already persuaded my boss to add a testing tool called Quality or Quality Plus. Mildly irritated by the way they define it, because the name of the tool is spelt Quality. So they've dropped the U, which my brain wants to change. So I want to say Quality or Quality, or, but they refer to it as Quality Plus. So I'm ignoring the spelling and the clever typo to just call it Quality Plus. But it's if you've got Jira, but you can't afford things like Zephyr, which is a bulky, great test tool, but very expensive, Quality Plus is a great alternative. It's free for the first 10 users. And over that, it works out something like $10 a year per user. So a really cheap alternative, but does everything you need it to. So I got the tool installed yesterday, which means that we will move from, and this will make you shudder too, Paul, at probably the whole group shudder, testing in spreadsheets. So they're managing all four work streams using spreadsheets. You can imagine the chaos. So yeah, there's loads of challenges, but what's nice about Trinity is not only do they want to do testing, up until the test team forming with Sharon, who now works to me, joining a couple of years ago, is everybody own testing. Now that's a nice thing, in as much as they acknowledge testing is important. It's not great from getting test quality in place, but it does, harking back to the Test Planet discussion this month on quality coaching, it does mean they're all really familiar with the point of testing. So it's just getting the right people to do the right things, things like the customer success team, to actually recognize their user journeys, and that's what they should be testing from a user acceptance perspective if they can't go out into the wilds and ask teachers and candidates. So yeah, a giant puzzle, lots of fun, plenty to get my teeth into, and I've already added a tool.
Epic. That's so cool, Jane. What an opportunity you have, right? Yeah. Very, very cool indeed. So yes, Bug, congrats on your first week at your new workplace.
Awesome.
And if you can bring more of your team to This Week in Testing and to the Motiverse, yeah, they are always
absolutely
welcome.
Going to. Is there a Vietnam MOT branch?
Do you know what? Off the top of my head, I don't know. It seems to ring a bell, but I need to double check that. Maybe historically we did. We did have one.
Seem to think I've seen one in the memories or somewhere like that. I haven't had a chance to go back and have a look.
Yeah.
But yeah. It would be great if we can get them, because they're a really good bunch. I've met them twice this week, and we're going to be running workshops on the new processes to use the new tool, because one of the things my boss was concerned about was the fact that there's not completely, but a bit of a them and us sort of scenario going on, because they're an offshore team. So it's almost work being thrown over the fence and being thrown back. And that's not what they're trying to do. They are trying to collaborate, but there's a barrier there somewhere. So I'm going to run workshops for the whole test team. It's not just going to be Sharon and I making decisions. It's going to be us and the Vietnam team. So Ewa, let me paste a link into the chat for Quality, because if you've got Jira, it's a very good, cheap, very cheap. There's a link there if you want it. plugin for Jira that works a lot like Zephyr, but is a fraction of the cost. So for smaller organizations, it brings in the useful test management tooling that you need without the cost of something like Zephyr Squad, which is a great tool, but not cheap. It's for big organizations, really. But yeah, the Vietnam team are lovely. So I want to make sure they consider that they are asked and understood as to what's needed. So yeah, very exciting times for me, Simon. I haven't got up every day with a spring in my step for years. So obviously the right choice at this point.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. Very cool, Jane. Well, do stick around. I think let's see who else is ready to join the stage. But yes, Jane, of course, please do join the conversation as we bring more people up onto the stage. Yes, Mariam, who else can we spot that wants to come up on
Alexander.
Stage?
I spotted Alexander, who was...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, go for it. Do you want to try the
button?
The button. Yes, yeah. Yeah, give it a go and let's see what happens.
Then two main stage, yes. Okay. Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for bringing me on stage. And happy birthday to both of you. That's really, really good that we have both of you here as hosts. And yeah, I think it's really nice. And it's really nice that you are spending time with us and like talking to us in your birthdays. So yeah, that's especially thanks.
I second that. And
yeah, what?
Sorry, Alexander, I just said I second that on them joining us for their birthdays.
Yes. A few words about my weekend testing. It was like full of preparing to public talks. So one is, as already mentioned, it will be a talk in Ministry of Testing Tunis. I will talk about software testing careers, but also I worked on another slide deck on the talk that is dedicated to the topic of how to stay motivated and focused when we are learning something. Because one part is how to learn. There are a lot of techniques, and some of them are good, some of them are bad. But the other thing is just how to understand what to learn. And the second thing, how to keep your motivation and focus in the long run. Because every day, or for example, every week when we are joining to MOT or like this weekend of testing or any other forms, we are we can find a lot of different topics, a lot of trending things, like for example AI, machine learning, playwright, or other topics. And at the same time, we can learn something in the long run, for example a new technique or a new programming language or something like that. And the challenge here is how to filter out all of the incoming information and how to decide what to learn and how to keep learning, so without any breaks, and how to achieve what you have as your learning goals. So yeah, that was my two things that I concentrated this week.
It's a great addition, Alexander. I'm looking forward to your presentation. I'm very excited. I can't wait.
Thank you. It will be amazing.
Yes, I'm sure of that. So, are there? Ben Duan has just joined us, and you are coming too late, Ben. So there's Natalia is waiting for us to her hand is raised. Should we
Yeah, let's do it, Mariam. Let's get Natalia up on stage. Absolutely. Okay. And thanks for sharing, Alexander. I want to read more about that learning advice. 100%.
Afternoon.
Natalia, welcome. Thank you for joining us. How has your weekend testing been?
Yeah, it was good. Thank you, Simon. First of all, happy birthday to you both.
Yeah, thank you.
Very exciting. I was expecting you will be off today, but yeah, nice to hear you today on this weekend testing. It was good. It was a lot of thinking rather than doing. Which I think is also part of testing, right? Like thinking like how to test it and where to test. So I had this request from my PM. I work in on a platform with a lot of calculations. So it's payroll. So it's more about like heavy calculations and different use cases. And I had this request from him. Can we somehow add the validation test that total cost is correct and how we report? And I said, like, okay, because there's a lot of like areas that I still don't know. I'm like learning, like, so like, okay, let me have a look what it means, like how we were calculating and where. Because I think very often the ideas from people who like they do also like PMs that I work with, they do a lot of testing as well. Like they do manual testing, like user acceptance, in a way how they know how calculation or system should work. But it's not necessarily how you would automate or put more like unit tests or like more sustainable tests in place. And sometimes I feel like they think that, oh, we'll just go and automate on UI things. So we'll just grab the totals and compare. It's correct sum up of other elements in a table, right? And then I said like, okay, let me just have a look. So it was an interesting dive into how it works. Is won't be surprised if I tell you it's over engineered, but yeah, this is how we work very often on a kind of like complex systems. But yeah, it was a lot of thinking. How to do it, what we need to test, right? Like what's the main like use cases. So I spoke to a couple of people. I still don't have the solution for that, but at least I'm like clear on what we need to test and where it is, right? And like at least I know what we kind of care about. So that was good. So that was it was a lot of as well. It's quite calm period at the minute because, as you possibly know, the a bit of holidays. So it's more like downtime. But yeah, been doing a bit of like kind of like filling up the gaps like with unit tests. I got a little bit bored because it's nice, but sometimes. Like going backwards retrospectively requires a lot of thinking and understanding, and not always you can test the code which is there. So yeah, but it was good. I learned lots of stuff. It's important.
Nice one, Natalia. Sounds like a very busy week and lots of brain power and processing. Indeed, from what you described. But yeah, I like what you shared, like emphasizing that, you know, we sometimes don't have all the answers, even if it's like, it sounds like you've had really good discussions, yet there's not the complete solution. And it feels like that just will come with time. I think sometimes we can be harsh on ourselves if we're like, oh, got to know everything, got to know it now. And being a bit like risk averse. We need to know all the things, and there's no ambiguity and all of that stuff. And I wonder, kind of, if just thinking out loud, like, I think we have opportunities as professionals. This goes to everyone who's listening. To sometimes just go, you know what, we don't know all the answers and that's okay, but let's go find out by iterating on things. At least, yeah, that's what you've triggered for me, Natalia. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it's true. Like, you know, I like in this environment, I think it's like also need to kind of like, I struggle to match the expectations because I think the environment is very different, right? So it's also, well, I think when you have time to think, and particularly depends how people like view your work, like what values, like sometimes we focus on a lot of outputs, you know, like rather than outcome that comes later, like in 3-6 months, right? So for me, it's kind of important to communicate what I'm doing because I don't have any test in place to show them like, here you go, I've done what you actually wanted. It's going to work, or at least we would know when it fails, right? So it's this kind of challenge of letting people know I'm working on it. This is where I am. I don't have solution for you right now, but I'm working on something that we can kind of work sustainably, so we don't need to maintain like with a lot of efforts or kind of like running for longer than we could do ourselves manually. So it's also different ways of working. And I think not always people can see that right away. So it's like helping them understanding where I am at the minute. But yeah, no, that's been good.
Yeah, it reminds me of a brief chat I had with Stuart Day at the MOT London meetup, the recent one. Just he was sort of discussing the concept of like, not necessarily describing what it is we're testing, but like the reasons behind it and helping, as you say, Natalia, to set expectations and kind of framing that in multiple ways so the audience can kind of, if they don't get it the first time round, they can get it the next time round. And when it's, yeah, as you say, when it's not, there's no like physical output or something they can tangibly see, it's like a bit of a trust piece going on as well. Like it, you know, trust that this will come good and there will be positive outcomes. Yeah, very interesting topic. Sounds like something we should start on the club, which I probably say every week, but there's so many good topics we're discussing at This Week in Testing that always make for good extra discussion points on the club. So for those who are unfamiliar, the club is Ministry of Testing's forum. Head on over there now. There's lots of good stuff going on. Yeah, all sorts of conversations, and I do try my best to include a number of them in our weekly newsletter. So if you haven't signed up already, you can head over to ministryoftesting.com/newsletter, and we do try our very best to bring in lots of news, lots of things that's been happening in the community. It's a great way for us to celebrate people that are up to really good things, people who are being audacious, people who are going for it and putting their words and thoughts out there. So do go check out the newsletter. Natalia, please do stick around. And thank you again. Mariem, I think, shall we get Ben Doan up on stage? I think I saw Ben put their hand up before Elise, but thank you, Elise. We will bring you up soon after Ben.
Yes, should I do it?
Yeah, go for it, Mariem. You go for it. You take over. I'm gonna be quiet for a bit. I've been yapping for a little bit too long, I believe. So over to you, Mariem.
Okay. Hello, Ben. You are on stage.
Hello. How's your first co-hosting gig going, Mariem?
Fabulous. Fantastic. I'm a little bit shaky, but it's all right.
Well, big congrats to you. I'm sure you're doing excellently.
Thank you.
Been a little bit late to Twit this week because I've been dropping tables. Sorry, I mean building tables. I've got a garden table that I
love it.
built with my wife that we bought last year for the summer and never built. So it's been sat there a year. I was like, nope, today's the day. I'm just doing it. So yeah, that was good. Yeah, no, not dropping database tables this time. thanks for letting me on stage. It's a pleasure as always.
So how has your weekend testing been?
My weekend testing has been marvelous. Thank you very much. I've spent a good amount of time this week doing many different things, but one of them was facilitating a ways of working workshop for my team. And we ended up deciding that we want to switch from Kanban back to sprints and change our meeting calendar of regular team meetings. So that was an interesting experience, going through and letting the team choose the topics that were important to them, and those were the ones that bubbled up to the top by the end of the session. So we changed things.
And Ben, if I can just jump on in, for those who are listening who might be unfamiliar, what would you say is a simple way of describing the difference between Kanban and a sprint?
Absolutely. So Scrum versus Kanban, or sprints versus Kanban. Kanban is a process of, it depends a lot on how you manage your backlog of work. And it makes a difference how you plan your work. So sprints, you have a defined iteration, often something like 2 weeks or 4 weeks, and you plan a package of work that you intend to or commit to delivering within that particular period of time. So effectively, it's a fixed package of work, whereas Kanban is a fixed process that you go through to process the tickets. So that might be different columns that you put things through. And the idea is that you fix the amount of work in progress and you prioritize your backlog, so you pick up new tasks in order, but you don't plan a particular package of work. So you just limit how much is currently in progress. So there's no completing a sprint. You don't get the same kind of iteration through the things.
Wonderful. That is
I like what Paul said. They're both forms of waterfall, but sprints are 2 week waterfalls and Kanban's a continuous waterfall.
That's brilliant, Paul. Well, I mean, there's opportunity, Ben, and I have to mention the glossary because it's just what happens when Ben joins that. I think that means a cookie for you, Ben, if the glossary gets a mention. So no doubt we can get Sprint and Kanban on the MOT glossary. And we could also include your description of both in that glossary, as the glossary is, you know, available for folks to share their thoughts on a particular term. There is no definitive description of the many glossary terms that are out there. But yeah, thanks for sharing, Ben. Oh, Jane, you jumped on in. Please do go for it.
I wanted to add something to Ben. For those listening that are trying to decide between Sprint and Kanban, quite often one of the deciding factors for me is whether you've got a dedicated team that's only focused on that activity. If you've got teams that have day jobs, so you're including infrastructure teams or service management teams or wider teams beyond the delivery sort of activities, then Kanban tends to work much better because you can hand work into them and hand work back out, but they're not sitting in a sprint team focused only on the sprints, which is the only way I've ever seen sprints work well, is when you have a dedicated sprint team with the right people in. So you've got a business user that's able and encouraged to make decisions. You've got a developer and you've got a tester all sitting together, working through the detail to elaborate the continuous waterfall, as Paul's put it. So I think Kanban is really useful if your teams are distributed and not dedicated.
It's really interesting. In my experience, I have found that sprints are very useful for collaborating and aligning when you do have to work across multidisciplinary teams, because you can plan to do the work within the same 2 weeks sprint together. But there are certain types of work that really lend themselves well to Kanban. And in my experience, things like responding to help desk tickets, for example, brilliant for working in Kanban. Like anything where it's kind of reactive work, where you're not planning ahead what the outcome should be, but rather you're following through the process and work just kind of drops at your door. Like that works really well in Kanban. The advantage I find with sprints is mostly that it protects the team somewhat, if you do it well, from larger like changes of scope that are too rapid, because it may put a like once you agree that this is the work you're doing for the next 2 weeks, then the act of adding more work in is really easy to flag. You go, oh, hang on a minute, if we're gonna be doing this additional work in this 2 week period, then let's kick something out, because actually we're still have the same capacity, but now we're being asked to do more things. So that's that kind of planning element I find is very useful for the team, potentially more than for, say, the external, but also sometimes the communication with external people within the company, but it's mostly a team thing. What I found one of our biggest problems was that we were running Kanban, but not necessarily well. So I think we could have been more successful with Kanban. I think that was acknowledged. But what we were really doing is just picking up whatever work needed doing and not really planning very well, which wasn't great. So
yeah, Kanban does run the risk of your time slipping without delivering much.
Yes, agreed. but that wasn't really the most interesting thing. The most interesting thing was facilitating the workshop and letting the team kind of decide the topics that were most important to them, and going through the process of letting them come up with solutions that mattered to them. So that's the bit that I liked the most, was not that we changed from one to the other, but that the team had that freedom to make it the most important thing and make the change. And now we're going to make the change. Like that's the bit I really like, is facilitating the team. Because in theory, there was never anything stopping us from just changing from one to the other. But there also was no dedicated time to come together and make the decision and like talk it out properly. So just investing in the time to let the team decide it isn't working and propose the solution, that's the bit I really like.
Love it. There's a lot of power in that. Giving yourself time and space, as indeed I think, yeah, we could all do. We're doing more of that. Sometimes I think we're all a bit go, 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 which is understandable. You know, we've got pressure to deliver and ship. So it's understandable. Ben, I was thinking whilst you're up on stage, what can folks expect of the next software testing live? So the title is Shop Till You Drop, which is so just a brilliant reference to Drop Table. That's on Wednesday, the 23rd of April, in the evening, British summertime. Yeah, Ben, what can folks expect of this session when they join?
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me a moment to promote the session. So first of all, it will be a live session. To a certain extent, you can expect to rock up and we will make what we make of it, and it will be a unique and individual experience. What we always do is we have a guest, and this time will be the excellent Brittany Stewart. We're going to do some exploratory testing, and we're going to find an e-commerce site. I think we've got narrowed it down to kind of two choices, but I won't give the game away just yet on that. And depending on the choices, we might do more of a focus on the user experience and the kind of the browsing items and checkout process. The theme was going to be e-commerce. So As you say with the title Shop Till You Drop, it's all going to be about shopping. It's going to be about retail shopping, buying items, browsing for items, all those kind of good things. And depending on the target, it's either going to have potentially a security, a little bit of flavor in it, which will go very nicely with the drop tables reference. But I'm not fully committed to that yet. We'll have to see how that evolves. So there's a possibility we'll have a little side of security as well as the e-commerce focus, which should be a lot of fun.
Amazing. Thank you for sharing, Ben. And for those who want to experience what it was like, maybe after this call, you want to catch the recording of Ben and Jane. You folks had an amazing software testing live. Just watching people test, talking through their testing process, how they're thinking, how they're describing what it's they're doing, the choices they make. And then documenting it with their notes is real powerful stuff. I think we need more of it. And it's, yeah, kudos to you, Ben, for leading this initiative. It's very, very cool. And there's plenty more to come that you can get on the events page as well.
It was a lot of fun.
Brilliant. And it was so noticeable. The two of you kind of just, yeah, it was a great session. I loved it. It's one to come back to, that's for sure. Mariam, I'm just doing a quick time check for you and I and the rest of us. We've got about 10 minutes, and then we've had Elise C has had their hand raised for a while. So thank you, Elise, for being so patient. If you're still up for it, we would love to get you up onto stage. So I'm just going to press a little button on this side, and that should send a little notification to allow you to join us. Hello, Elise. We can hear you.
Thank you for still inviting me. First of all, happy birthday to both of you.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. This is more like a question. I'm a career shifter and I'm an entry level QA, and I'm currently in a job hunt. I just noticed that most companies now look for junior or entry-level QAs who also know how to automate. So my question is, I'm just wondering what your view is with this approach where people with little to no experience in QA is already expected to automate tests, because I thought QA's manual skills are like one of the baselines of this career, and one is supposed to be very good at it first before they can apply automation tools.
It's a great question, Elise, and thank you so much for joining the stage today. It's a brilliant question, and we're very grateful that you're part of the community and sharing and asking that today. What I will do, I'll open it up to those who are on stage right now to share some thoughts. And then, of course, we can get more folks up on stage as well. Mariam, Natalia, Jane, Ben, or Alexander, what are your thoughts on this question?
I can start and share a few things. So the first is that, unfortunately, the market right now is like constantly in competition, so you are in competition with a lot of other people, and the companies can demand a lot of things in their job descriptions, and if the companies can choose from a lot of candidates, then they can choose the best ones or the ones that know a lot, like automation, testing, and so on and so on. So the thing is, the first thing that you need to do, you need to understand that you need to learn how to, let's say, sell yourself on the job interview. By selling, I mean how you can provide an evidences that, for example, if you don't have automation skills, but you either can learn it quickly, or you have a lot of other skills and that can benefit the company and the particular vacancy. So it's all the matter of how you position yourself on the market and on the job interview. But in general, yeah, automation skills at some level, yeah, I think at some point of time, it will be like more or less like prerequisite, not for every vacancy, but for a lot of.
Yeah, I can relate to you, Elise, because I'm personally on a job hunt since a year ago, I'm a manual tester. After applying for a lot of manual testers jobs, and I couldn't, even if they didn't mention in the description that they want automation skills, during the interview they ask you, do you know how to automate scripts, and programming language do you know? So it was a little bit challenging for me, I didn't have the choice. Let's say that. That's why I love manual testing. But if I want to get a chance to with this tight market, I think manual testers should add automation to their toolkit. Why not AI? What I have to say about this.
If I can add, Elise, I support you in a way that the base, how to test and like testing techniques and fundamentals, definitely needs to be first in place, jumping to automation. Unfortunately, the industry is shaped by different narratives, so vendors, like automation. I think we will have the challenge of AI as well. You know, like I would imagine in 5 years down the line, people will be asking like, oh, do you have a experience testing AI? You know, not necessarily asking you whether you can test, like it's a knowledge, right? I can share how I jumped, not necessarily would work for you, but sometimes people learn in a very different way. Alexandra already suggested there are very different materials, and I think it's inevitable having those basic skills, right? Like not necessarily you would or you want to build frameworks from scratch, but I think what they would look for, like you can understand the code, you can add some tests, you can maintain, you can run, you can fix when they're breaking, right? So those things are kind of like, I guess, also you can sell or you can offer them your value and then you will ramp up. When I was looking for a job a bit like more like upskilling or better paid, I had this weekend workshop basically like from 8 to 9 to 5. We were just having a very good hands-on workshop. And it worked for me because it was kind of crash course. I didn't learn everything what I knew. I failed in the very basic questions. You know, you can't grasp everything. But somehow I got through where I needed to be to start learning more, right? So you might learn yourself or with someone, or you can find some mentor. But unfortunately, like Alexander said, we don't have like really control now at the minute. Company wants to get the most value of candidates, right? The same challenges is on senior level, whether you know automation, but then you need to know like DevOps and pipelines and different types of. So it's kind of like never ending challenge. But yeah, so I guess that's how we need to overcome and be smarter to get in.
Yeah, and I, in support of what Alexander and Natalia and Mariam have said, Elise, you can't hatch, most testers don't have all the skills that are on job adverts. Having come from looking for work for 4 months very recently, try and filter the ones out that are all automation. Look for roles that are more and blend, because even if you don't have automation, if there are manual and exploratory test aspects to the role, then promote those when you get to an interview rather than focusing on the automation. I started to try and learn. I mean, I've got eggplant automation, which apparently nobody ever uses except big organizations. So whilst I understand automation, I don't have things like Playwright or Selenium as such. But you can get a basic understanding from the MOT website is a brilliant place to look for training on all sorts of tools. So you can gain enough to understand the language and what they're talking about, but look for roles that aren't purely automation, and they are out there. And upskill in your own time at your own pace. Putting yourself under pressure to upskill for a job interview is going to just make the pressure worse. So be very careful and mindful of that, not to just distract from trying to get the role that you're looking for. Back to Simon and Miriam.
Yes, thank you for sharing, everyone. So
thank you, Simon, so much.
Yeah, my pleasure. Let's do a time check, Simon. It's already.
Indeed. Oh wow, time has flown by. But yeah, final thoughts, Elise. You know, you've joined a wonderful community full of wonderful people who are up for helping. So yeah. Just stick with it, right? Like, we're all here to help. We're all here to help you as you navigate your way into a career as a testing professional, QA or quality engineer, or the many different titles that exist out there. Yeah, we got your back. We totally got your back. There's loads of so much good stuff, so many good people, so much good content, a number of certificates that are available to get you started. And I think, you know, there's a whole bunch of us that have tons and tons of years of experience and many different industries, and we're all still learning. We're all still discovering things that are exciting. The industry is moving fast and we got to keep up with it. So yeah, just go for it, Elise. We're so glad that you joined This Week in Testing today. And yeah, keep active and keep sharing your journey as well. Folks who are in a similar position to yourself will be grateful if you share, you know, some of the challenges you're facing and some of the ways that you've overcome them and some little things that you're learning along the way. Big fan of folks who are up for sharing their journey with others. It will inspire a whole ton of people. You may never get that feedback from those people, but know that it will have a positive impact on them. So thank you for joining, Elise. Awesome to have you here. So, Mariam, yes, we should wrap up today. Just one final mention is always to remind folks about the wonderful conference that we have here in October. So October, 1st and 2nd of October in Brighton in the United Kingdom, there is a wonderful conference called Test Bash. Please do check out the schedule that's available on ministryoftesting.com. You got a brilliant, talking of the brilliant bunch of people, there's a brilliant bunch of people who are involved in this year's Test Bash. We're very excited. Things are building out nicely behind the scenes here at Ministry of Testing HQ. It's all coming together nicely. So very, very excited to see this one become a reality. So do get to it if you can, folks. It's going to be ace. Mariam, would you care to wrap up today's session? Anything else that you'd like to share before we close off today?
Not really. It was a privilege for me to co-host with you, Simon. It's like my birthday gift today.
Likewise. Thank you.
So thank you very much, and keep coming up, all of you. And thank you. And
Okay, folks. Well, signing off for today. Yes, and likewise, Mariam, thanks so much. A real privilege to get to co-host with you today. And yeah, happy birthday to both of us.
Yay.
It's brilliant. And I noticed in the chat, Ben sharing about the birthday paradox or the birthday problem. That's brilliant. That link is one to follow up on Wikipedia and have a read. That's very cool. Great. Okay, folks, well, we're signing off for today. Please do enjoy the rest of the day wherever you may be. And we will see you another time during this week in testing. Bye for now.